I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast. Here with Benji as always, and this show is supported by our show partner, Lacole. This is the recap of the Women's World Championships road race on the Saturday. Pretty exciting finish to this race, actually, with a lot to talk about tactics-wise. Speaking of women's cycling, you might have seen her at the front in this race, Joss Loudon, who rides for Drops Lacole. She's riding for GB here in a domestique role, early doors for Diagne and Anna Henderson. And if you're watching the Eurosport or GCN broadcast, you would have seen she's doing the hour record, I think, in 5 to 6 days. September 30th rings a bell. I'll put it up on the screen on the YouTube. That's been supported by Lacole as well, our show partner. So that's some more cycling action after the World Championships have finished to watch out for. But this course from Antwerp to Leuven, 157 Ks, pretty easy first 50 Ks. Nothing, no opportunity to do anything. Then they have the Leuven circuit, one lap, I believe, of the, or two laps rather, of the Flandrian circuit, and then they go back to do the Leuven circuit a couple of times, and then the same finish as the men and the elite and the under 23 men you might have seen yesterday. So heavy favourites were obviously the Dutch with Van der Breggen, Brand, Peters, Van der Broek, Black, Van Dijk, Van Vleuten, Vollering, and Voss. Other strong teams were Italy, United States, GB, Germany, as well, with no grace ground for Australia, unfortunately, and Denmark. But nothing pretty much happened for the first 80 Ks, Benji. The first 11 circuit and the transition to there was done at a pretty steady pace.
Yes, indeed. I wasn't expecting too much on the initial 11 circuit, to be honest. Perhaps some moves by perhaps a French rider like Cordon Agault trying to get away in the early parts and being in a group ahead. But we didn't see that much of that. I feel like I didn't see the French too much at all today. I think Bjanic was the only one I actually saw. So, yeah, I guess they had a day off. But the main action didn't even start at the start of the Flandria circuit, which is where I expected it to start. We spoke about it on the podcast, on the preview, that the Moskestraat is the key point in that Flandria circuit because it has steep sections and cobbles. And if you combine those, then you've got a pretty difficult climb that could split up things and make the race more selective. And it may allow a team that is looking for, well, let's say a sprinter of another team to drop, if you pace hard on that Moskestraat, it will help you out. And we see nothing happening there. Like, I was expecting someone to make a move on the Moskestraat. It was just the peloton strolling over the climb, and, well, that seemed to be the case quite so, and no action. And then after that, I think we had the Beekestraat, which is one that also has cobbles, actually. I wasn't 100% certain about that, to be honest, but it did have cobbles and it was quite steep. And that was the only moment on the Flandrian circuit where action started from that point onwards. And it was because Van Vleuten was moving to the front just when Vollering came back at the back of the group after having a puncture beforehand. And it was Van Vleuten who ended up not really going for an attack, but like pacing a bit harder on the cobbles and putting some pressure on the back of the peloton and seeing if some of the rougher sprinters would end up dropping off the back. And to be honest, the rider that I was most surprised of was a rider that I haven't seen too much this season. That's Lizzie Deignan. And today she was able to follow very well on the Moskestraat, but on the Beekestraat. And yeah, there was some damage at the back of the peloton, but nothing too extreme. But the group was thinned down to like 45, 50 people, which means that the rougher sprinter types, some of them were gone. But he did have groups coming back just after that. And I think all the other action was waiting until we started the Smeisberg. But are you surprised that the Netherlands, for example, is not taking action here?
Yeah, because the key for this race, and it's like in the men's race tomorrow, will be first order on the Flandrian circuit is to put the pure sprinters under pressure. And even riders like, see if you can put Capecchi under as much pressure as possible. You might not drop her, but, you know, get rid of Hosking, get rid of... I thought this is where you try and put Balsamo under a lot of pressure or Diedrichsen on Denmark, or Emma Norsgaard as well. I mean, again, you might not drop them, but it's a place to put the really quick women under pressure as well, and maybe even try and create a group of 15. As they might not get dropped, there might be a split, and then you can gather a group of 15. We see it all the time, and then who's going to pace if in the front group of 15 you've got three Dutch women, four Dutch women with Vos in there as well, or Vollering. That's the sort of situation I was expecting. And then a group of 15 to 20 to kind of ride away with a good race situation for the Netherlands didn't happen. And it'd be like if you see the final Moskestraat, you and not drop Benji and Belgium not pacing tomorrow, you'll be nervous. I think, because as we transition to this Leuven circuit, it's hard to really keep people dropped, isn't it, from the group? There's opportunities for people to keep coming back and people sit up. That's what we've seen in all these races so far.
Yes, certainly. And even to give a firm example of what we are talking about is the Netherlands is here with Marianne Vos. We know that. We know that she can get over climbs better than some of the other sprinters that are in this starting peloton. And if they pace hard on the initial portion, then the opposing teams will have to default to different riders. So, for example, if we take a look at Denmark, they've got Norsgaard and they've got Utrup Ludwig. If the race is too hard, they have to switch from Norsgaard to Utrup Ludwig as their leader for the rest of the race, because Norsgaard will likely end up dropping if the race is actually hot enough. With Belgium, well, you've got the issue that Capecchi is there. You got to drop her on the climbs as well if you want to have a relatively simple sprint at the end. Then we look at the United States. They have Corner Vera as a sprinter in that team. If Corner Vera gets dropped on the hills, which is a bit tougher, I think, compared to Norsgaard, I would dare to expect. But if she gets dropped as well, then they switch to, a Faulkner, Winder situation, someone like that, combination of both. So that's how you can really change how the other teams will have to ride their race and who is riding for them, because Vos has a much easier time beating Ruth Winder and so forth than beating the likes of a Con Rivera. And next to that, if you make it harder at the start, then it will be easier to ride away even after the Flandrian circuit, because they'll have less domestiques to pace every Van Vleuten attack away. So that's kind of how I look at this situation. But yes, you mentioned going into the Leuven circuit, but it was also just on the Smeisberg that we saw a move by, I think it was Molman Pasio, and Deignan was very swift to respond. Vos as well, showing extreme strength on that Smeisberg, getting to the wheel of Molman Pasio, closing that down herself. And that's the moments where I'm like, this is the moments where Vos should be saving energy. And someone else at the Dutch team should be closing these gaps. Van Vleuten should be on the wheel of Molman on a Smeisberg like this. And it wasn't until the end of the Smeisberg where we saw a move by Van Vleuten, but that move did have some consequences. There were splits, and these are splits where you sometimes saw three Dutch riders or two Dutch riders in a split, sometimes including Vos, sometimes not including Vos. And then you have the group surrounding them that is basically the riders that you would want to go to the finish with if you're Vos. And then I'm surprised that at certain points Van Dijk didn't start pacing, for example, if Vos was in the group. And I didn't get that.
Because we've seen in these international races that if they do this pace fit with Van Dijk or someone just for 5 to 7 minutes, it can break the morale of the group behind. And the cohesion in the group behind is often worse than one might expect in chasing a group of 12. And especially if you do have say you got a Ludwig there, a Brennauer, Longo Borghini, then all the strong, Anna Henderson, all the strong nations are represented. And they'll be like, oh, we've got to ride her up the road. But it's like, yeah, you do, but Vos going to destroy them in the sprint. Or, you know, it's not a good situation for them, and yet the chasing behind is not going to happen. So, yeah, I was surprised by that. It's what I expected. I expected a group of 15 with Dutch presence after that. But, yeah, we didn't. And then it just started to completely explode with, instead of the Dutch team controlling, it was just attacks from everybody. We had Utrecht Ludwig going up the road, Brand attacking, G2 came back, I think, with Capecchi or Norsgaard might have came back. Like, it all came back because everyone's sitting up. Chantal Vulnerable Black attack, Mavi Garcia, Fry again with Ludwig, another attack from Van Vleuten with Garcia and Rachel Nayland, the Australian veteran, by the way. Then the peloton back again. And then Brand attacking again with Longo Borghini following. So Longo Borghini in actually Italy, a pretty defensive role, I thought. using riders to mark a lot of moves, and they did it well, generally staying generally always being represented. The one move that did stick was Mavi Garcia. I think she went solo, built up a gap of 30 seconds with 22.5 Ks to go. She did what I thought Royce would try to do, and we didn't really see the Dutch taking control to chase her back straight away, Benji.
Yes, certainly, and it would take a while, and we had some attacks by other people. Like, we saw a very active Anna Henderson today, and I don't know, if we go to a sprint and you've got Dagnan and Anna Henderson, who do you go for? I would have said Henderson based on the last 3 months of racing, right?
Yep, I thought Henderson was a stronger rider for this, but, I mean, Dagnan gets a world champs buff. I'm not sure. I actually don't know. I think Henderson was trying to go in earlier moves, and it kind of tired her out, to be honest.
Yeah, we saw next to Mavi Garcia also a move by Cecilia Trupludwigiana, who was at Chevy, I think, for a moment. So a lot of riders doing that stuff. But in the end, it was, I think, Van Vleuten that went for a move once again. And from that point onwards, Van Vleuten just kept on, like, either riding at the front of the group and then attacking the next climb and then riding at front of the group again and then attacking again. And I kind of don't know if that's very useful, because you're spending energy on the flatter sections and your attack is going to be less strong if you spend energy on the flatter parts between the climbs. So I wasn't sure what the Dutch's plan was from that point onwards, and I was getting more puzzled than puzzled of what their plan was going to be, because in my eyes, Vos is one of the stronger sprinters in this group, and you can choose to do the following things. Either you don't attack and she is not going to be cooked by the end of the race, but then you are more threatened because you've got sprinters like Kopecky that are coming back left and right after every hill. Are they going to be able to replenish if you don't make moves like with Van Vleuten and so forth? Are attacks with Van Dijk useful? Because we saw a move by Ellen Van Dijk, and then they realized the Dutch in the second group, okay, she's not a fast sprinter in the group of three that she's with right now, so we're going to start riding behind her again. And they closed down Ellen Van Dijk's attackers themselves. So I don't know. What do you think their plan was, the Dutch, from this point onwards?
It wasn't one. Like... How can the plan be to allow Kopecky, and I'm not sure, but maybe Balsamo to come back? Rivera was always there. She's rode very strong, but yeah, she was always in that group. How can the plan be for them to come back? And how can the plan be for Brand to like attack? She has no chance of winning, by the way. Zero chance of winning. She already like half dropped herself on a previous climb. I had to pull out of the train when Nivea Doma had to take. Nivea Doma was the strongest on the climbs, by the way, repeating what we saw in spring on Carlberg, easily the strongest. How can it be for Brand not to pace, or for Van Dijk not to pace? Now, fine, they can have their opportunities earlier, which they did. Didn't work. I'm surprised when we saw eventually 12Ks to go, Garcia with 4 seconds. Van Dijk and Vleuten had started to pace, that, you know, they'd allow that group to come back. And then I thought, okay, last 10Ks, we've got a few climbs left. The group is, Vos is good, but anything can happen in a group, in a sprint with 30 riders, and especially with riders like Balsamo, Kopecky, Rivera there. I keep mentioning them. And they didn't, what I thought would happen, Benji, was they would ride one of the climbs, one of the last climbs, very hard with Kastjanova Yudoma, who will probably attack, get Vos into that split with another rider or two, and then pace the line, Vos sprint, easy dub, thanks for coming. And that sort of happened. The only problem was Van Vleuten had meme attacked about three times before then. Brand had attacked before then. Van Dijk had attacked before then. And so they get to the top, perfect scenario, a few Ks left. Van Dijk in a group with, I think, ELB, Nivea Doma, and Vos. I'm like, this, okay. Perfect, right? And Van Dijk was cooked. She couldn't pace, and the group wouldn't pace with Vos. It all came back together again. And then, I was like, and Van Vleuten had almost been dropped at that point. Like, could they have done things differently in that final circuit? Or, as people are saying, no, this Leuven circuit is not hard enough to do anything, and Balsamo was always making it to this finish.
I think they could have raced very differently here, and they could have made it much tougher for Balsamo to drop potentially throughout the parcours. And it doesn't only start in the Leuven circuit. It starts already way at the Flandria circuit we spoke about. If you punch hard on the Moskestraat, if you go hard on the Timonstraat, and if you go hard on the Smeisberg and the Beekestraat, well, then you're going to do much more damage than 15 attacks on the Leuven circuit afterwards. So if you were able to split up the group significantly before you get to the Leuven circuit and get Balsamo and Kopecky and so forth in a second group. Kopecky was in a second group at the Smeisberg, so if they punched a bit harder, she wouldn't even have been in that group anymore at that point. So I think it all starts earlier in the race, and when it arrived at the Leuven circuit, you can attack 15 times, but those hills are not going to do the damage that he could have done at the Moskestrad.
They might not do the damage, but they can do what we saw with Kopecky, where you keep her coming back. She's tired. Yep. She's in bad position. And this is where the race turns on its head. Going into the last 1,500 meters, we see Italy. I see Maria Confalonieri go to the front. I'm like, excuse me, what are you doing going to the front? ELB, she ain't dropping nobody on this finish. There's four riders there, and Balsamo is there. Benji called it out in the preview. Only rider, I think, to beat Lorena Wiebes in a sort of head-to-head punch sprint last year.
I think two riders did. I think Northgaard and her, but okay, continue. Nah, sorry.
I reckon the narrative that she did it is the best, even if it isn't the truth. The point is she's proper quick. And Italy go to the front. They're in a line, 1, 2, 3, 4. Netherlands, we see the overhead shot. There's five riders there. They're literally all around the field, dotted around. And we go into the final K. Perfect lead out from Italy. We've got Elisa Longoborghini, last woman. We have Ellen van Dijk, who can't do it. She moves to the front. We're looking for Vos. Where is Vos? She's not on Vollering's wheel. Vollering gets brought up the right-hand side. Vos then has to close a gap to Elisa Balsamo as Elisa Longoborghini begins a really hard lead out. That splits the group, and Vos has kind of shot a bit of her legs, closing that gap. They've got a literal gap on the peloton. Their lead out is so strong, and these two are so much faster than everybody else. And Elisa Longoborghini is a bit early. Balsamo says to her, nah, keep going for a little bit because we've got the gap, and then kicks when she wants to, looking at Vos in the face. It was like the Lance, like look around attack in the face of Vos, and Vos cannot come out of her slipstream on this draggy finish because she's just one of these riders you don't want to go to the finish with, even if it's a coin flip, which, you know, sounds pretty good for most riders. A coin flip for the Netherlands is probably not what they wanted, and Balsamo beats Vos easily on this finish to take the World Championships road race and title at 23 years old. Volkar now, she's going to Trek Segafredo on a 3-year deal next year. No surprise there. Ahead of Vos, Nivedoma third. Crazy strong race from Nivedoma to come third after all her attacks. Katablanka Vas, the Hungarian, she is like unbelievably talented. I think she's done like four road races. She's like top five in all of them. Fourth. Then Arlena Sierra for Cuba, fifth.
Strong, huh?
Big result from her. Alison Jackson, then Demi Vollering seventh, rather than doing a lead out for Vos. Again, just a continuation of something that's curious. Ludwig eighth, Brennauer ninth, Rivera, a little bit disappointing, I thought, 10th for America. So
when it comes to like Sierra, you could have seen such a result coming, I think we spoke about her before in Burgos when that was that stage where I think Grace Brown won ahead of like, Roy's Rochabi. And she ended up winning the bunch sprint on that false uphill sprint.
Yes, she did. That's a good call.
And I remember talking about it on the podcast before, but that's one example. But talking about Blanca Vash, well, I was looking with 10K to go. Okay, she might have an opportunity for a podium hit. And I go to the betting sheet. There's no option to bet on her. She's not known enough to bet on her yet. She's going to be on there for the next couple of races after today's performance, that for certain. And fun note, actually. I think I'm not sure whether it's 100% whether she is eligible for U23, Balsamo being 23. But if she was eligible for U23, would that mean that next year with the new rule of the first U23 rider arriving at the finish line next year in Wollongong, being the U23 world champion, would she also have been the world champion?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I think it's on the edge.
Year too old. But yeah, a crazy win from her and her Trek Segafredo teammate next year doing the lead up for her, Elisa Longoborghini, which that hard acceleration when Balsamo was there, that's what put Vos under a lot of pressure. I really encourage everyone to go and watch maybe the last 15 kilometers of this race. It's very interesting. And I think we said this after the Olympics road race, and I think people might be saying, oh, you're being too harsh on the Dutch team. Why are you holding them to such a standard? And I think that's a result of they're literally the four of the top five favorites, or even five of the top six favorites here. They have the European champion Van Dijk, AVDB Vos, Van Vliet and Vollering, etc., when the strategy of the path to them winning is so straightforward if they just have some sort of coherent plan to create a 15-woman group, even 10-woman group, and we saw the possibilities for that to happen with multiple riders and Vos there and for them to pace. We saw, yes, Vos got beaten, but there's 10 bike lengths to everybody else.
Yeah.
If you just don't bring Balsamo, to, as we said now five times, a top pure sprinter there, she's winning this by five bike lengths and we're like, easy done. Even Rivera, she cleaned it up. So, yeah, I think is it equivalent, Benji, to Belgium letting Ewan come back and then not
losing
pacing?
The sprint?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's the equivalent to that. But also just the last kilometer alone kind of tells everything about
the
Dutch.
They never got together.
Yeah, it tells everything about the Dutch team. Just watch the final kilometer and just look at what the Dutch team is doing. You've got Van Dijk just riding at the front in second position. Three riders ahead of Vos, who is in the wheel of Nivea Doma. On the right side, you've got a rider, I think it's Vollering, that is trying to move up as well. And then you've got on the right bottom, you've got Van Vleuten, who is also riding alone to try and do something. If they do what the Italians do and actually put a train up, well, they probably would have not had the energy after all those meme attacks we mentioned already. But if they didn't have all those meme attacks and they actually put a train up and do something together, then they would have been much closer to winning this one. But no, that's not the case. Like, Longo Borghini was dying on the last hill and looked at Balsamo, and Balsamo was like, no, I can't go yet. I can't exactly. go yet. It's too early. So she waited longer, and then she went and she ended up winning. And it's kind of funny to look at it like that. But I listened to a podcast the other day with Dutch journalist Thijs Sonneveld, and he was speaking about the Dutch women's team. And apparently they only came together on Thursday to prep things and beforehand didn't talk about the tactics of the Olympics together at all.
I feel like also Brand, she's a good rider. She's not good enough this year that she gets her own chance in this race. Sorry. She's like, I don't care that she won the Ardèche race. In the proper spring classics against top competition, she's barely scraping the top 10. Like, no, it's Vos or Van Vleuten and Van Dijk, to be honest, should get the chance. Yep. Brand, I don't know why she was given so much opportunity to go for herself, and then she wasn't really able to be helpful as a domestique. And also, if Brand gets in a group with four other riders, Benji, is that even a good outcome? Like, for the Netherlands with, you know, ELB or Cavalli?
I don't know. I honestly don't know Lucinda Brand's sprint too well, so I can't tell
it's
you.
All right.
I wouldn't know if that's a good result. It depends on the situation. If Vos is in trouble, then yeah, a move like that could put you in a better position. But Vos wasn't looking in trouble at that point. So I don't know. It all depends on who's with her. Like, if ELB is with her, then it's not great. But if she's there with, I don't know, let's find an example that actually fits. If she's there with Mavi Garcia, I wouldn't worry too much because I think Lucinda Brandt has a better sprint. So stuff like that could force an Italian team to have to pace, for example, after Lucinda Brandt. And then it works. But every Italian knows that when a Dutch rider will go in this race, you have to try and follow. Longo Borghini responded to like 5 to 7 attacks throughout the race, just to close down Dutch people that went for attacks on every hill. And that's what shows that was a better team. And there's this quote I stole off Google, and it says, a champion team will always be the team of champions. And it applies to this race in my eyes.
Yeah, I think AVDB won't be riding for them next year. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, they've got, you know, the last rider who just beat Elisa Balsamo in a road race, and Balsamo came second, was Charlotte Kuhl, 22-year-old Dutch rider. She's going to Team DSM on a one-year deal next year. She won a stage of the Balazza Ladies Tour this year. Like, she's obviously top class. She's obviously very talented. And she also beat Balsamo again in a pure sprint in that Balazza Ladies Tour. So there's other Dutch talent coming through. I think we saw in European champs that, yeah, Van Dijk went solo, that's fine. But in terms of managing a tricky 10K finish, these Dutch women are not working particularly well together, particularly because, Benji, AVDB used to be the glue. When she, like AVDB, I would say, is willing to sacrifice herself often for her teammates, but she's not in the shape. She was on like bottle duty today, not represented last in race. The finale. Is it her last race ever?
Yeah, I think it is.
Maybe that's one for the off season, a full AVDB career wrap up. But yeah, it's a shame they didn't get the W for her. But yeah, her last race, she was working as a domestic early doors for the Netherlands. But what next, Ben? You've got the women's tour it's a world tour race in Britain coming up. So that's something. There's still some good women's stage racing coming up later in the year. What about Balsamo though? You think Gent Wevelgem at Trek? I think she could be winning some big races next year. We should speak more about her, I guess. Like her spring this year, fourth in Gent Wevelgem, fifth in Brugge de Panne, third in Shell de Prace, third in Brabantse Pale, 19th in Omloop. I reckon she's winning two of those races next year.
No, I think she can definitely get close to those. I'm not sure winning is the case because Marianne Vos will still exist. So I don't know if today is the thing that changed it around, but I do think that Balsamo was in the breakaway in that Brabantse Pale, and then she ended up being in that group that went for the victory, but still a strong performance that day. And again, to Wevelgem, that reduced bunch sprint, that will happen in a lot of races. And if you're there and you can do that, well, just I think the easier the sprint, still the better for her, because she still beat Seratizi Wibbers last year. And Gent Wevelgem, she ended up being beaten by sprinters that I would dare to say on a pure sprint she would be beating. But I've got the feeling if she can find consistency that she can certainly win some of those races like you are mentioning. And Gent Wevelgem is a perfect example because, yes, it's a rough parkour. There's both Kamelbergs, I think twice the Kamelberg in the women's race, but that harsh flat section at the end that does nothing when it comes to like damaging the group if there's no wind, well, that's an ideal situation for someone like that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, she might get a bit of lead out at Trek next year. Maybe she will. I mean, I think Amstel is too hard for her. I think she likes a little, you know, a cobbly or punchy race, but then, as Benji said, a relatively straightforward or not too steep finish at all, where riders like Foss have more of an advantage. But yeah, that was our recap of the Women's World Championships road race. Looking forward to, hopefully she gets a fully blinged out bike on Trek next year as well, at least Balsamo. And Italy just keep on winning. Baroncini, Filippo Ganna, and now Elisa Balsamo. Have I missed anyone else that Italy won with? They're on absolute fire. So maybe tomorrow, Sonny Colbrelli to win the World Championships. Perhaps. It could happen.
Can sprint he come against out? Remco.
Remco toes into the line and says... Eddie Merckx implodes. But yeah, we hope you enjoyed the recap. Give us a like down below if you did, and we'll see you with the recap of the men's tomorrow. Ciao.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.